Welcome back to Letterman Row. It is a big time Monday edition of the program because we've got Andy Backstrom back. We've got Tim May back, the 41-year-old. We've got me here on the other side of the screen, Spencer Holbrook. We are here to break down everything Ohio State, guys. But really, more importantly, week three of training camp. Fellas, 2 weeks in the books now. They started Thursday and a half, I guess, ago, about 10 or 11 days. They've put a lot of work in since then. The Buckeyes now have one scrimmage under their belt. But that doesn't mean that we've learned everything about this team. There's a lot to learn. We're going to go through. Each of us is going to give one thing that we still would like to see in week three from this team, because it is the penultimate week of training camp, because it's this week, the final week of training camp next week, and then they kick the thing off. So it's fastly approaching, Tim. I'm going to throw it to you first. Tim, what do you want to see from this team specifically this week that maybe we haven't seen yet?
For Ryan Day or someone of officialdom to step to the microphone and say, X is our starting quarterback. And I expect X to be W.H. Will Howard, based on everything we've seen, based on everything I've heard, especially what went on in the scrimmage on Saturday. That's not slamming anybody else, but what I've seen and what I'm hearing is Will Howard seems to be making progress every day, not stepping back one day and then stepping up the next. And, you know, they're looking for consistency at all. That's the watchword for this football team when you ask them about any kind of position battle, right? And who's whatever's consistency. I'm understanding Will Howard is being quite consistent and getting better at that by the day. Number two, he's the only guy who started more than one game in that meeting room and has won a championship. I expect them to name Will Howard the starter by the end of this week.
We'll see if it happens. I mean, Ryan Day slated to talk to us, the media, on Thursday. So if it were to happen this week, it would have to be on Thursday. But again, he doesn't have to do that. He still has another Thursday press conference a week before the game week even starts. He could do it on the 15th, this Thursday. He could do it on the 22nd, Andy. Quarterback is I think it's starting to really take shape here that this is Will Howard's team. What do you think?
I mean, that would be the earliest that Ryan Day would have ever announced publicly the starting quarterback in his time as either acting head coach or full-time head coach. It could happen because, as Tim said, this has been building. We've seen Will Howard taking the right steps. And two things can be true. Like, Devin Brown has improved. Like, he's much better right now than he was last year. I think he's more consistent. Is he as consistent as he needed to win the job? Probably not. Is he as great as he needed to be to win the job? Probably not. And that's really a high order, tall task for him to have done. Like, you're going against a 27 start, as Tim mentioned, a Big 12 champion quarterback. That's a hard thing to do. It's not that Devin Brown hasn't, it's just that he was up against a big mountain to climb, and he's gotten pretty far up that mountain, but, you know, to get to the peak would have been a lot to ask. Sure. So he has improved. And I think that Will Howard has just done what he was asked to do. And he's, you know, taken care of his body, lost the weight, gotten faster, had a command of the huddle. He's just played this out the right way. And Devin Brown's competed. But I think that Will Howard is just in the driver's seat.
And they're all, both of them are going to play the first three games. I guarantee you, we're going to see a lot of whoever number two is. I mean, I truly believe that because they need to do that for the good of the team. So, you know, but yeah, Will Howard, final answer.
Yeah, I think you guys are right. Whether that's this week, whether that's next week, I think seeing Will Howard continue to take those steps, to have that progress, to have people around the building kind of buzzing about him the way the corners and the receivers were on Friday, I think that's a big step forward. Andy, back to you, I guess, because you still have to give us one thing that you are really looking forward to, zeroing in on, whatever you want to call it. What do you think the Buckeyes need to get done this week that you really got an eye on?
It's the other offensive position battle, which is the right guard battle. We've been keying in on that all offseason, and it still is a tight contest between Carson Hinsman and Tegra Tshabola. We've seen a lot of Tegra Tshabola with the first-team offense, but that's also partly because Carson Hinsman's missed some practices here and there, most recently with that illness of that funky virus, as Ryan Day called it, that swept through the offensive line room. It seems like Carson Hinsman's back into the fold for practice and the scrimmage to happen this weekend. And it seems like that competition is still going strong. The question is, will that be settled by week three of training camp? Or is this going to be something that keeps going on and on and on? And do you even play this into the season? because I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world. I know you want to have your five set, but we talked about the schedule and how it kind of lines up for a competition to bleed into the season. Maybe this is an opportunity to see both guys play with the first team offense, see who performs better, because you've seen Carson Hinsman start before that, but that was at center. You haven't seen it happen at guard, and you haven't seen Tegra Tshabola starting snaps before. So you could collect some real data the first four or even three games of the season if you wanted to keep it at that, and then go from there.
I agree. Tegra's had a good camp, man. Everybody you talk to about him, he's really come on. Carson Hinsman has obviously the starting experience from starting every game at center last year until the Cotton Bowl. And I bet they regret that one. But that's another story. Bottom line is, I think this – it's interesting that this has turned into a battle as opposed to a, all right, best case scenario, jump in there. You understand what I'm saying? I think both these guys are quite qualified. You know, I'm more interested now in seeing depth develop, bona fide depth develop at the tackle positions. That's what I'm keeping my eye on and maybe asking about as this week, next couple of weeks ensue.
Yeah, you guys bring up some good points there on the offensive line. I still think I wanted to say it was Carson Hinsman. I've been so back and forth on this. I think we all have, right? Like, you see Carson Hinsman in there, it's like, okay, he's going to be the starter. No, Tegra Tshabola is going to be the starter because Ryan Day is really talking him up and praising him. Oh, wait a second, Carson just did this, but then he missed two practices because of illness. And it's just, you can't get a finger on it, but you also understand that Ohio State feels good about either one of those guys. And I think that's a good, that's some good news there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you know, I'm not going to. I mean, I've watched football for a long time, as you note, every time we do a video. But what the fine points are on whether Tegra or Carson Hinsman should be in there from a footwork standpoint, a technique standpoint, an assignment standpoint. Sometimes when we're sitting there just watching, you know, let's face it, we're not watching the guards a lot of the time, you know. So I'm just going on tea leaves like you're talking about, Spencer, is that you know, Hinsman has started an entire season at center. Tegra Tshabola is past due, in my opinion, of really stepping up. And it appears to me that he has stepped up. And I've seen him log roll some guys, if that's the right term, as this preseason has gone on. But we've rarely, from the media standpoint, got to watch them play real football where they're lining up and knocking people, you know, in the jaw off the ball. So that'll be, if we get just a couple of glimpses at that, over the next 2 weeks, if we get to watch any kind of practice like that, that I'll be keen to be watching that.
Yeah, it's interesting because we did get to see some inside run drill on Thursday. But guess what? Carson Hinsman wasn't there.
Exactly.
It just kind of makes everything so much more difficult to read. I could go receiver depth here with my – finally, as we get to me here for my one thing I'm watching, could go receiver depth, could go running back depth, talk about some of those walk-ons that are starting to pop up on both those spots. But I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball because we can't just talk offense here. I know offense is fun. It's sexy to talk about. It really gets the people
when going. In doubt, air it out. Go ahead now.
Exactly. But the defense wins championships, or I think I've heard that before. I think it's a proverb. I think it was written in a cave somewhere. And like,
I think a defensive guy wrote that back when teams ran the ball up the middle. You know, defense puts you in position to win championships. You still got to score points.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go with defense wins championships, though. I think this linebacker room is completely set at the top with Cody Simon being the leader, potential captain, potential blocko, any accolade you want to give him. He's drawn the praise of his teammates like we haven't heard for a lot of guys in a long time. I think he really has the respect of that locker room. He's solidified as a starter, no questions about it, no bones about it. Then you go to Sonny Styles, I think is going to be the starting will linebacker. All signs point to that being the case. Then you've got CJ Hicks, who is an interesting case study. Every time you talk to people, they bring up the blitzing ability, the blitzing ability. He's the best blitzer on the team. Well, can he play linebacker? I don't know. We've got to see that still. But the guys that I'm really curious about are Gabe Powers and Arvell Reese. A little bit of disagreement before we started the show, in full transparency. I said if they had a backup mic, Arvell Reese might be making the push to that because I think the athleticism is starting to win. He's in position. He looked really good in that aforementioned inside drill they ran. But then you talk to James Laurinaitis and you talk to Gabe Powers and you talk to some other guys around the building. Gabe looks really good this offseason, this training camp. He's taking a big step forward. So, you know, that the Arvell Reese, Gabe Powers thing, I think they could both provide something to this room, but also they kind of both play that mic spot right now. I thought I thought Arville might be a defensive lineman. Now he's playing Mike. So, like, the depth there, I think, is starting to become a good thing, maybe even a luxury that this team has that we just didn't expect. They've got to put it on the field before we know that for sure. But right now, I'm feeling really good about both Arville Reese and Gabe Powers when it comes to fourth, fifth linebacker on the field. And when you only play two linebackers, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to pull a switcheroo, a flip, based on our pre-show conversation, just to throw a monkey wrench into it, is I kind of agree with you about Arville Reese, Spencer. And because James Laurinaitis likes him. You know what I mean? It's kind of like having inside knowledge, but basically everybody else has the same knowledge almost we do in that regard. Because I think Arville Reese has a big upside. I think you agree, right? I mean, the word consistency was used about him. As we know, the Mike linebacker has got to be – he's that central processing unit, that CPU for the defense. Everything kind of goes into through him and out of him from the standpoint of sometimes getting people aligned, all those kind of things. A lot of responsibility falls into that realm. But I like Arville Reese because the coach likes Arville Reese. And then when you watch Arville Reese do some things, he kind of plays the position like you want him to play, right? He gets up in there and hits somebody. And I like Gabe Powers too. I mean, you know, and here's the thing. I think this is the luxury. And please, Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall fans, don't hold this against me, but Ohio State's going to be a prohibitive favorite in all three of those games. The luxury of that is putting these guys all into the game. I'm talking about the backup dudes, and letting them settle it in real games. You know, when you're playing against somebody who doesn't know all of your moves and you know all of their moves, then now let's see how they process it. Now let's see who's the most consistent in there. So I'm looking forward to watching that battle as much as any other in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Andy, I know you've got linebacker thoughts. Let's hear them.
Yeah, well, look, the middle linebacker is really important because, as you said, Tim, the CPU, the central processing unit, or
like
the quarterback of the defense is what they call it, right? So that's the signal caller. Now with the helmet communication, you need to process everything. You need to be a step ahead of everyone else. That's what they talked about, Tommy Eichenberg. He was the first one to understand the Jim Knowles system. He was a step ahead of everyone else. He was not just reacting. He was proactive, going towards where the ball was going to be. Cody Simon has that now, and they liked that last year. They felt like he was even able to do that last year in a third linebacker role. That comes with time, experience. I think that Arville Reese will get there, and I really like the intangibles he brings, the athleticism he brings, but I think you build experience. Gabe Powers has the experience now. He's been in this program longer than Arville Reese. He's also made a lot of progress, not just this offseason, but during last season. They even talked about how much progress he was making in practices during game weeks. So I think there's that evidence too, of where I think they might feel more comfortable with him right now. And by the way, Gabe Powers is also 6'4", you know, like 240. He's an athlete in his own right. So I think that right now they might be more comfortable with Gabe Powers going in there. But as James Laurinaitis has said multiple times this offseason, if a guy deserves to play, he will play. So maybe they'll both play. But I think that's going to be the indication with how deep that rotation is the first couple of games, is how many guys are truly deserving and ready and comfortable enough and have the confidence from their coach that they're actually going to be in the game.
I think one of the things that maybe Tim and I are caught up in is like that athleticism that Arville Reese brings is like tantalizing. Like you just don't teach the raw athleticism. Like I'm not talking about playbook or on field. It's like almost like combine stuff, right? We love the NFL combine every year because
he likes fun to play football. That's what I like about him.
It's like the combine stuff is all fun. And like, if you put Arville Reese in that kind of setting where it's like, hey, go be an athlete, like, man, he's really going to pop. But I think you're onto something there, Andy. The bottom line here is the fact that there could be a discussion for who the backup Mike is. When we were talking about this linebacker room being maybe one of the weak links of the entire roster, tells me that James Laurinaitis has these guys moving in the right direction. And, oh, by the way, James Laurinaitis, and this is his first year, so maybe we'll take this with a grain of salt. Maybe he's going to do this every year with freshmen, especially
He volunteered this. Go ahead now.
Especially with Riley Pettijohn coming in the 25 class, he's going to talk glowingly of that guy at this time next year because that kid is a freak. But back to this year's team, like, James was talking about one of the freshman linebackers, like the way some of the Ohio State guys and that, you know, on the offensive side have been talking about, like, Jeremiah Smith, like the praise that James Laurinaitis had for Peyton Pierce, you know, unprompted, was crazy. You're talking about a guy who, you know, oh, he really gets it. He's not out of place at all. There was no learning curve, even though he missed the entire spring because he was in a walking boot or he was on one of those fun little one-legged scooters that I've always wanted to try, even though I don't want to get hurt like that. Like, he was walking around. He was paddling his way around the building on that scooter. And all of a sudden here in August, there's no learning curve. There's no, you know, he's not behind at all. He's actually ahead in his development. If that's the case, I would have loved to have seen if he was available in the spring, because he could be in the conversation for playing time. And if he starts to flash against Akron and Western Michigan and Marshall, he might give you a sixth guy that you feel really good about on the field, you know, when you're up 17 and you could use a break for, you know, a CJ Hicks or a Sonny Styles. Like, I'm intrigued, guys, because we just don't hear, and I'll go to Andy first because I've been going to Tim first on all of these. We don't hear defensive guys get talked about when they're freshmen like this, Andy.
He said that Peyton Pierce isn't behind at all, and he missed pretty much all of spring ball. Right. So that's pretty incredible, because when they talk about guys coming in the summer, oh, they need time to acclimate to the program, to understand the defense. Well, the added benefit he had was he was around. I mean, Spencer, we saw him at the Cotton Bowl. He was throwing around the ball with James Peoples. And you know, he's just been around the program now for a long time. You get an understanding of the team meetings, of the defense, you know, working with James Laurinaitis, Jim Knowles, being around the other guys, the veterans on the team. It seems like he really used that time to his advantage, even when he wasn't on the field playing. And that's why he's been able to hit the ground running. They've also tried him at Mike a little bit too, and they've liked what they've seen from him there. So he's versatile at the linebacker position, can play both spots. I'm sure he could play that Sam role if they needed him as well. And by the way, Garrett Stover, they also talked about they like how fast he is and he can fly, and they want to see him on kickoff teams. So the whole linebacker unit, you know, just go down the row. There's a lot of options there. It's intriguing.
Yeah, Tim, before I throw it over to you, Garrett Stover, one of the players after we talked to him on Thursday, I think it was, when we talked to linebackers, told me that Garrett Stover ran 23, told me and Jeremy Birmingham, both were standing there, told us that Garrett Stover ran 23 mile an hour this summer. That is like wide receiver stuff from the linebacker position. So, yeah, maybe, Tim, maybe all of this is to say, a really long conversation to say that maybe linebacker is going to be all right after all.
You know what's refreshing is talking to a guy like James Laurinaitis. James Laurinaitis, remember, had to go in as a freshman, I think it was, when Bobby Carpenter got banged up at Michigan and went in there and, you know, played with aplomb. Now, granted, that was the 11th game of that season, I think. I think it was 12 games at that point. But anyway, bottom line is, I don't get soaked down, and my CPU is running a little bit slow. But bottom line is, why not get excited about a freshman, a couple of freshmen, if they're showing you what you were looking for when you were recruiting them? You understand? I mean, they've stepped up. With Peyton, they had to go, you know, he had to go a little bit on the way he got hurt, what his senior year in high school down in Texas. You had to be worried about him a little bit in that regard. But once he's bounced back, once Stewie, my favorite guy in the training staff, laid his hands on him, you know, every time I have a bad shoulder or something, I always get him to touch me and it goes away. But the bottom line is, you can bring along guys like that. But then it's clear he was studying whatever they get to study, the iPad, the, you know, the game pad. You know, I'm sure they don't have maybe they do have an actual literal playbook still now, but he was watching with intent, because the thing that stood out was when James was talking about him, how he knows the defense. You know, I mean, you remember what Jim Knowles came in, the first guy to really soak up what he wanted from the defense was the middle linebacker and Tommy Eichenberg. And so you can say the same thing. Some guys get it from the get-go. You know, this, it's like they're reading exactly the book they picked off the shelf. So it sounds like he's that way. That's why it's going to be interesting, guys, because I keep reminding people, this is going to be, if Ohio State has its druthers, it's going to be a 16-game season minimum, you know, 16-game minimum. I mean, you got to get these guys ready to play. Linebackers are going to get banged up. That is through the last several years, you know. Poor Tommy. I mean, we never saw him really 100%. And then he tried to play not 100% and really cost him, in my opinion, in the NFL and the draft situation. So you don't want to be leaning on that kind of situation until you actually, you know, absolutely have to. So it's imperative that these guys play. But back to the argument, back to the point. Yeah, having those young guys, if they can play, get them in there. I mean, you know, the quicker they're in there, the quicker they make mistakes, the more they learn about themselves. Just like with the cornerbacks, you know, it became BIA during the 2000 and teens. But, you know, Garyon Conley, first time he gets in the game, big time against Michigan State, what does he do? He has a big flub. Next thing you know, he's a first-round draft pick, 2-3 years later. Right on down the line. I mean, you can name almost every corner who's come through here like that. Same thing with linebackers. They're going to make mistakes. But if somebody isn't getting it that's ahead of them and they've been in it 2 or 3 or 4 years, you know, as the old saying goes, sometimes it's time to step aside and let somebody else go to the front of the line. So we'll see how that goes.
I believe the philosopher Cooper once said, if they're going to bite, they're going to bite as a pup.
Yeah. If a dog's going to bite you, he's going to bite you as a pup.
There you go. I think he's still saying that, but we'll see. That's the way that we see Ohio State this week. We're not going to see Ohio State this week at all. As of right now, Ryan Day is going to talk to us on Thursday, which, you know, we'll get some updates from Ryan Day. We'll see what kind of mood he's in, see if he wants to give us some good stuff from the week of practice that they're having, because we're just not going to see it. But we've seen a lot so far, so we will continue to provide coverage based on that, based on sources, intel, things of that nature over at lettermanrow.com. The 41-year vet, Tim May, he'll be there as he
– You know, I think it behooves Ryan Day almost to reveal 2 weeks into camp, because that'll be 2 weeks into it on Thursday, who the starting quarterback is. Because I'm pretty sure they probably already know. Don't y'all agree?
I think so, but we'll see. You know, it's not up to us for when Ryan Day reveals that. I wish it was.
I know that.
If it was up to me, he would say it.
I wasn't usurping authority. I was just saying, why else would you have a press conference on Thursday? Let's hear something that's newsworthy is my point.
Well, maybe Ryan Day will have some news for us. We'll be there on Thursday. Whatever he wants to say, he could say nothing. We'll still be there on Thursday because they're going to let us be there on Thursday. Andy Backstrom, he will be there in the middle of your screen and over at lettermanrow.com. Tim May on the other side of your screen, the 41-year vet.
Can I ask one more question? Do you think Coach Prime saw me and said, I'm going to Tim May look? Coach Prime, you think he did?
What, his hair got white?
Yeah, no, his beard. You haven't seen his beard?
I'm getting this out of here.
You didn't see that press conference with Coach Prime the other day? Oh my goodness. Glad I'm not covering Colorado. Oh, my gosh. All he wanted to do was fight. So, anyway, it is what it is. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you there.
That's all right. Now, I'll try this the third time to get us out of here. That's 41-year vet Tim May on the other side of your screen. That's Andy Backstrom in the middle. We're over at lettermanrow.com. Find our coverage there. Like the video below and hit subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's always going to be there. And we're always going to provide content there on the YouTube channel and at lettermanrow.com. We'll see you guys over there.